Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And we are going to go straight away to Clara in County Offaly. Michael, good afternoon to you.
Hiya, how's it going?
Michael, how is Clara feeling today?
Well, to be honest, personally, I'm very, very upset. I'd be angry about the Taoiseach's decision, the government's decision to Barry.
Yeah, I suppose we should just say, in case anyone's living under a rock, what we're talking about here is that shock decision just before 9 o'clock last night of Taoiseach Micheál Martin to announce that he had sacked Barry Cowan, which is not something that happens every day. We've had some resignations of ministers in recent years, but it's been a decade since we've actually seen a minister who has been sacked by their Taoiseach. So you're saying, personally, do you know Barry Cowan yourself, Michael, personally?
Barry on the door during the election campaign. I'd be aboard Namona worker out of my job now at the moment. And he said, seeing him be appointed as agricultural minister for the Midlands, especially, it was going brilliant for us. Micheál made his decision. In my opinion, it's nothing got to do with anyone in the Dáil, whether a man has a conviction on anything, especially when it was 4 years ago and not even in the Dáil term.
I'll have to hold you up there now, Michael, because I think a lot of people will hear that and they'll think, well, sure, these are the lads, these are the people we send up there to make the laws, and surely the least we can expect is that they abide by them.
Yeah, well, like, at the end of the day, he did break the law. It was 4 years ago. He did the crime and he did his time, you know, in my opinion. And look, not everyone's going to have the same view on it. And I know myself, a lot of people that I was speaking to over the past 24 hours or that have been saying, and even since he did the leader's questions there last week as well, a lot of people have been saying, just like, leave the man alone, let him do his job.
Do you think Micheál Martin handled this well, generally?
No, not particularly now, to be honest. Look, if there was more to it, like, that he's not letting on anyway at the moment, but in my own opinion, I just think that what happened to Barry is completely unjust, and it's humiliating, and the Cowan family will be a very respected family around Offaly and the constituency. So it's a hard day for that family, and I think it's very unlawful and unjust what the government did. They wanted the witch hunt, and they burnt him at the stake.
God, it's very strong words. They burnt him at the stake. But sure, I mean, there was this outstanding issue, this Garda record that we've heard so much about now, but only the Taoiseach and Barry Cowan himself seem to have had sight of it. And the Taoiseach says that raised more questions, that the Barry Cowan had to come in to the Dáil to answer them, and that he wasn't willing to do it. Surely, if he had that much respect for his party and for his position as Minister for Agriculture, the least he could have done was come in and explain himself and set all the matters on the record.
Yeah, well, I suppose, like, if just say yourself, if you were caught drink driving, would you have to come on radio and explain yourself to the whole country?
Well, I'm unlikely ever to be asked to make a law requiring other people to abide by legislation. Whereas, as I say, these are legislators. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the people who actually put these rules and laws in place for the rest of us. And it's surely a very basic matter to ask them to abide. But I suppose we should say at this point, Barry Cowan very much accepted that. And he apologised very profusely in his Dáil statement last week. It seems the issue now is that there was follow-up issues in relation to the Garda record of this, and that was what was not going to go away. Can you see it from Micheál Martin's point of view at all, though, Michael, the idea that, you know, if your newly appointed minister is on the front page of a Sunday newspaper 2 weeks in a row, that it's getting to a political problem that needs to be dealt with?
Yeah, well, of course it's a problem, but I don't know. I go back to my point of saying, like, I had to start a new job this week. They don't look for your convictions. They don't look for any of that stuff. So why does it matter what he did 4 years ago when he I can't think back that far, but I don't even think he was a TD back then.
I think he was a TD in 2016, all right, but...
Yeah, well, like, he didn't have a minister role, so I don't know. I just think in my own opinion, it was a witch hunt. And
why do you think it was a witch hunt? Like, who do you think was behind the witch hunt?
I don't know. I can't make any speculations on exactly, but I think other parties in the government want to stir up with this deal that the Greens and Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil, they want to just stir that up, because I suppose what I see social media an awful lot is it's that the people haven't voted for it. Now, I myself am a Fianna Fáil voter, but and I was happy to see the agreement, but look, it could be press, but they talk about GDPR and all this. That's surely a breach of Barry's personal data if it was to be leaked.
Well, that's certainly what Barry Cowan is very anxious to get more clarity on and get investigated. Will you stay on the line with us, Michael? Because I want to go to another Offaly man, Kieran Rosny. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah. Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
Would you be of the same view as Michael there in relation to Barry Cowan's issues?
Well, I tell you, Katie, what I came on to talk about really was that, you know, I'm an Offaly man. I grew up in the surrounded by the bog in Ballycumber in County Offaly, and I know the Cowan family, Barry and his brother Brian and his father before him and their grandfather were great politicians for the Midlands, and they did a lot for County Offaly and a lot for the Midlands, because I know my mum and dad are still down there, and I do be down there a good bit. And I just came on to show my support for the family, because I know they've given their whole life to politics and helping at a local level. And I know Barry was in the council as well, and they spent all their life helping the local, especially the Midlands, who sometimes can be forgotten. And I just wanted to show my support to the family, and you know that it's a tough time for them, you know, and I know his brother as well. And I just felt that we're focusing, as a country, we seem to be going slightly in the wrong direction here. I thought we had maybe put the politics of the past. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning drinking, driving or breaking the law in any respect or that. And doing that is not right, it's wrong. Drinking driving is a serious offence. But
So in that line then, is Barry Cowan not the architect of his own misfortune?
Well, look, he broke the law 4 years ago, and he owned up to it, and he said his piece, he took his punishment, he paid the penalty. And if there was a problem, how come it wasn't brought up 4 years ago or two years ago? The man has spent his whole life working for politics, and now that he's in government, he's been a very strong voice in putting this whole government together. A very historic moment where Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael are now together to try and put Ireland first, as opposed to politics. And he was right beside his leader, putting that government together. And now his leader has let him down. And now,
is that what you think? Like, you think Micheál Martin let him down?
Well, I think it's a sad day that something that happened 4 years ago is now the headlines of the newspaper for the last 2 weeks, when we have a pandemic going on all around the world and people are dying. And we're not focusing on the proper things like flights coming in from different countries, and businesses should be back up and running. We're focusing on the wrong things. Barry put his hands up in the Dáil on the 7th of July and said what he had to say. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning breaking the law. And I don't think anyone of these. But we seem to be like a blame game in this country. We're trying to focus on the little niggly things to try and pull down other people. Instead of working together to bring this country back up and running and get businesses that are totally destroyed from this pandemic and totally in major trouble, to get them back up and running. Oh. And that's what we should be focusing on.
OK, Kieran, stay with me. I want to go to Sean Kelly. Sean Kelly, Fine Gael MEP. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Sean, I was looking at your Twitter feed there a short while ago, and I see you think it was a bit over the top the way that Micheál Martin treated Barry Cowan.
Well, not so much the way Micheál Martin treated him. I think Micheál Martin probably had no choice in the end, because I felt when this broke in the beginning and seeing what has happened to others in the past, I said, this is going to go on now until Micheál Martin is forced to sack him or he resigns. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what I mean by being a bit OTT. I think Kieran and Michael have a good point there in relation to you do the crime and then you do the time. But when does it stop? I mean, the punishment for Barry Cowan now is far worse than the punishment he got from the courts, both from his own personal point of view, his career, his family, and so forth. And also, how far back do you go? 4 years, 10 years, 20 years? Well, if that's the case, they should say, listen, the following crimes, if you ever commit them, you're not going to be a minister. You'll be barred from that. And at least people would know in advance. So
but aren't we talking about apples and oranges to some degree, though, Sean Kelly? Because you know that it's not the issue was not the conviction that he owned up to and apologised for, and everyone accepted that he had done the crime and done the time, as you said it. But the issue was that there was then this subsequent question mark over the Garda, the pulse record of what had happened on that evening, and that we hadn't been told about that, and that this had, you know, then subsequently turns up in a newspaper report. And and it's that issue and the failure to address that in a full way that Micheál Martin has identified as the reason he had to go.
Yes, and I can understand Micheál Martin's point of view, because as Michael and Kieran have said, we have a new government, we have major issues to deal with, we have coronavirus recovery, we have Brexit, and he wants to get down to business and get moving because we don't have time in our side in regard to that. But there would be different views probably on relation to the point you made. I think Barry Cowan would say that he would have to see what comes out of the Garda record, and I would have 100% faith in the Garda in relation to that. But I just felt, apart from that, that it was going to be going on and on and on. And I just wonder sometimes
where does it
when
end?
Somebody does something of some nature like that, it just seems to gather legs and they keep going until that person has to resign. I remember,
does it strike fear in the heart of every politician, Sean?
I read last summer Alan Shatter's book, and the same more or less happened in relation to him. And he had to go all the way to the Supreme Court to be vindicated. And that's why I said, when the issue broke about Barry Cowan, I said, this is going to finish badly, unfortunately, for Barry. But listen, it is out of the way now. It's time to get down to business. I hope that we can put our priorities right and get the country moving again, which is so important.
Do you think, Sean, that there is much sympathy for Barry Cowan within your own party, if we start there? Have you been talking to any of your colleagues?
I'd say there'd be a lot of sympathy for him on a human level, without a doubt, and also, obviously, from a career point of view. But I think there's an understanding as well, and I think for Micheál Martin, because he's a new Taoiseach, he has 2.5 years to get his job done, he wants to get down to business. This was becoming probably very complicated, taking up a lot of time, and unfortunately, he had to do what he did. But so, in that regard, we want now to put it behind us, get on and do the job of putting the country back on its feet.
Can I just ask you, though, has it done some bit of damage to the relationship this early on in this coalition arrangement? Because we now know that Micheál Martin, he says he didn't see the record, this pulse record in question, until yesterday morning. But he knew about it. He'd been told about it. He had talked to Barry Cowan about it. The media had asked him about it going back, you know, whatever, 10 days. it's not clear that your party leader was aware of it or was made aware of it. And in that intervening 10 days, your colleagues in Leinster House trooped through behind, stood full square behind Barry Cowan and refused and supported him in not having further questions asked. And then last night we hear he's sacked because he wouldn't go and answer further questions. So is there not some trust issues there already?
No, I wouldn't think there were any trust issues. Fine Gael did what they felt was right at the time. Micheál Martin took his decision yesterday. He felt
but should he not have told? Should he not have told Leo Varadkar the full unadorned story and this other outstanding issue of the Garda report from the very beginning when he found out himself?
Well, I don't know what transpired between Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin, but all I can say is I don't see this as a breach of trust. I think it actually might encourage everybody to pull together now and to say, listen, there are going to be obstacles, there are going to be difficulties, we've got to deal with them in a quicker manner, in a more transparent manner, and to get on with the business, which we have spent so much time putting together a programme for government, now up and running, let's get on and do it. So in that sense, it might actually help to solidify the government rather than to weaken it.
OK, Sean, thanks for that. I want to go now to Mary Cunningham. Mary, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie. Nice to hear you.
Nice to hear from you, Mary.
Yeah. I totally, as an ex-Mill of All councillor, a police commissioner and a commissioner for roads, and I hope, I'd be able to judge a little bit and not judge at the same time. But I have to say, I have a nephew, Ronan Higgins, living down there, and they're very friendly with the Cowans, not just as decent people, and the Taoiseach Brian and all. And I do feel he paid the price. I don't condone drink. I never took a drink in my life, and my heart goes out to all the drunken drivers that killed people on the road. And he fully, I was impressed with the way he put up his hands. He's taken it again on the chin, and he should get another chance. And he's brought he's highlighted drunken driving again, and I'm sure that cause the uppermost if he had got a chance in his agenda. So I feel sorry for Barry Cowan and the Cowan family. Leon Martin, I say congratulations as the next Fianna Fáil councillor, but he could have got all the data and should have got all the data. If I was filling in forms for people, I'd have to get every nook and cranny before I'd sign them. And there's a bit of blame there as well. And I just feel it's a sad start. And the people, you had a lovely lady on yesterday, rang about a child with disability. No help, no room at the inn, no nothing. And there's so many, many other causes like that, with the code and everything else. And I do feel he took his punishment, deserved his punishment, and he said that himself. But I think he could have, with a bit of proper negotiation, provided he was hiding nothing drastic, and I'm fully behind the Gardaí as well, because I do some work for them, that he's entitled, though, to question the file as well. I just feel very sad, and I feel Leon Martin has been a bit hesitant, with all due respect to him, and I feel it's a sad start. And the other appointments now that have come, I didn't agree with them. And another thing I don't agree with, and I'm a Fianna Fáiler, is them excluding Sinn Féin, Katie. They've got democratically elected.
We'll have to have a whole other show about that one, Mary. That's a whole other show.
Well, it is a show.
Indeed.
And I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong. And they, like others, are representing the people. And they expect their colleagues down in Northern Ireland to with the government and have fair play to them. I just feel an awful lot of them need to look at themselves and get going and get the country going. I'm sad for Barry Cowan. Martin, I hope he realises he should have consulted with him more.
Okay, Mary, stay with us. I want to go to Ruth Walsh. Ruth, you wouldn't agree...
Good afternoon, Katie.
Good afternoon, Ruth. You wouldn't necessarily agree with Mary 100% there.
No, I'm afraid I would not. Sorry, I'm not laughing at Mary, but I'm just really reminded in the last few days how colloquial Ireland can be. Now, I don't mean that I'm very proud we're both Kerry and that, but there's sometimes you have to look at things objectively. Now, when I first heard about Barry Cowan, I thought, well, just 4 years ago, you know, why is it an issue now? But then as more information came out, now I have to say I didn't read the Sunday Times, that he was on a provisional licence. I thought, now that is really extraordinary, that anybody in this country could continue to get a provisional licence every point, ever, how often they have to apply for it, by the pretext of putting in that you're applying for the driving test and that you're intending to go for it, and then you don't go. I mean, that is just simply ludicrous. But we have that great sense of this one man who has been on a position for 40 years. I mean, that is simply not good enough.
Yeah, well, I suppose we don't know, and of course we don't know because he didn't come back in and answer those questions. We don't know how long he was on that provisional licence, but certainly, yes, he was well into his 40s when he was...
I'm not saying he was on for 40 years. Yeah. I'm giving an example of somebody else. It was just an area I knew very little, but no, I don't know how long he was on it, but it seems rather late in the day to be on a provisional licence. And the same Barry Cowan was well able to dole it out, you know. So I just feel that Micheál Martin now is like, he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. And I think he was left with no option but to take action, because exactly as some of your earlier callers said, there's a lot of other more important things that have to be dealt with now, like what's going on. And I just think that in the middle of this pandemic, as somebody said, that is more important. So you don't need the distraction of someone with a dubious case, however long ago, distracting from the business of government. I mean, we have a coalition. I think it was fantastic that 100 years on from the Civil War that the two parties are now together. I said this is a sign of a maturing society. I was thrilled to hear Paddy Fuller, son of Stephen Fuller, who survived the down below in Ballyseedy, saying we have to move on. So this is kind of backward thing that, you know, our man has been badly treated. Well, is there a circumstance where our man has to take the fall for the greater good and say, you know, that's all I really wanted to say, you know. I feel about that whether he was in Kerry now or wherever, you know. Sorry.
Don't be dragging Kerry into it now, Ruth.
I'm trying not to be colloquial in saying, you know, that just because someone is from your area that they're not up for criticism is something I think we need to get over. That's
okay.
All.
Okay. Okay. Stay with us, Ruth. I want to go to Brendan. Brendan Cole, good afternoon.
Hiya. I was just listening to one of your previous callers, Mary, I think. And she was saying that he took it on the chin and put up his hands. Well, in my opinion, he put up a little finger reluctantly, and he couldn't take it on the chin because he didn't give anybody the opportunity to question him and probably land one on the chin. So it's typical Fianna Fáil. It's deny everything until you're absolutely caught. And watch Reeling in the Years any night. I was actually watching it last night, and things just don't change. They stay the same.
You wouldn't be a Fianna Fáil voter, Brendan?
I would be, consider myself an educated voter, and if it suited me, I would. It depended on the person. But I don't accept that you say I wouldn't be a Fianna Fáil voter. I'd be an educated voter.
But this, what's played out over the last 11 or 12 days or so, you say is old Fianna Fáil.
It's old Fianna Fáil, driven by old Fianna Fáil, because Micheál Martin is very much old Fianna Fáil. The Cowan family would be owned old Fianna Fáil. And you have a fellow that's set to be promoted again today, Sean Fleming, very much old Fianna Fáil. And I probably could go on and on, but it's very much to the fore. So old Fianna Fáil is still reigning at the moment.
Would you have any sympathy for Barry Cowan in terms of that? He did, in fairness, go into the Dáil last week. He gave a very, what I think by any standards, a full and heartfelt apology, referred to what he had done as stupid.
You say by any standards, but it's to Fianna Fáil standards that he gave the apology. It just wasn't good enough. If he was clean and wasn't afraid of anything, why should he be afraid to answer some questions? Some very serious questions, actually, you know, including the driving licence and who insured him? What insurance company insured him, knowing that he's on a driving licence for that long?
Stay with us. I want to go to Damien. Damien, good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Damien.
Good afternoon.
You knew Barry.
I knew Barry, yes. I was his next door neighbour. I was born next door to Karen's house.
Oh.
We were next door neighbours.
So you would have grown up side by side?
Yeah.
So what do you feel about what happened over the last 24 hours?
I think it's an absolute disgrace. Karen's a decent people. Barry's a decent man. He made a mistake. He was punished for the mistake. He wasn't a drunk driver, he wasn't drunk. And I think Micheál Martin is very weak in second, Barry Cowan. But Micheál Martin will always go for the popular.
Just to be clear, Damien, in case there's any confusion about it, he was convicted of driving with alcohol in his system. So
I know, well, yeah, but he wasn't drunk. He wasn't a drunk driver. He was convicted with alcohol. I never took a drink in my life. So, you know, but Micheál Martin sacked him in the wrong. He was already punished. He took his punishment. Micheál Martin had always gone for the popular vote, like he did in the abortion referendum. And to be honest, I will not vote Fianna Fáil again while Micheál Martin is the leader.
And would you have been a Fianna Fáil voter?
All my life and all my family. All my life, I've supported Fianna Fáil. But you can't go for the popular thing. If it's right, you know, if it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, and the same in the abortion thing. If it was wrong one time to have an abortion, it's always wrong. Yeah.
Going back to the Barry Cowan situation, what was so terrible to ask Barry Cowan to go into the Dáil and answer the questions that people had around his provisional licence, around the insurance, around that Garda record? Surely he's a minister. This is what you have to do when you were up at that level.
Well, in all fairness, Barry did go in and answer in the Dáil. He gave a good statement in the Dáil. It's a private matter. Even though he's a minister, it's still a private matter. As a private citizen, he was caught.
He's a legislator. He was a legislator when he was caught. So how is that private?
The media have got this information illegally. And you need to hunt out who brought out this illegal information. And it is illegal. And it's then that should be punished, not Barry Cowan, because Barry was.
But how do we know it's illegal information, Damien? I mean, maybe Barry Cowan told somebody who told somebody else who told a journalist.
Well, we'll wait to see what the inquiry brings out on that. But it's something that shouldn't come off the Garda Pulse. Like, I mean, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to talk about anybody's private information.
That's written into the law. That's for sure. Information that Gardaí come upon in the course of their business cannot be shared with other people, and certainly not with journalists. We know that that's, as you say, written into the Garda legislation. But you don't feel that the public weren't entitled to have all their question marks around that put to rest?
I think the public were entitled to know. Did Barry Cowan serve his sentence on been over the limit? And he did. And I think that's all they're entitled to know.
Okay.
Like, I mean, if a man does his time, that's the end of it. You know, you cannot crucify somebody for something they've done a few years ago and that paid her.
They paid the price for it. Okay. Stay there, Damien. Yeah. I've got Frank Mahon on another line. Frank, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What do you feel about that? He did his crime. He did the time.
Well, I just made a comment that, like, if you apply for a job in Department of Agriculture, you'd be guard affected, and he mightn't possibly get the job in the department, and yet he can be appointed minister without guard abetting. But that was a sidebar. It was really about the status of this government, if it has any hope of continuing. That with the COVID crisis, the Brexit crisis, an economic crisis, and we have people, reams of people coming on defending a drunk driver. You know, I really can't understand it. This current crop of Greens, I don't think, will stand for the old Fianna Fáil style of move on, nothing to see here, and don't answer the questions. Whereas I remember vividly Eamon Ryan being marched into the dog by Fianna Fáil to defend Willie O'Dea and waving a bit of paper and looking bemused and not really believing what he was saying, I don't think. And this current crop of Greens, I just don't think, will go along with it.
Well, there was certainly that statement from Catherine Martin that, you know, there were outstanding questions that she was, you know, looking forward to hearing the answers to, which may have added to the pressure of the situation indeed.
But those answers should have been forthcoming in the Dáil. If you're a minister, you go in and you're happy to take questions. You will answer anything. If you have nothing to hide, you go in and you stand there and say, ask me whatever you want. I'll stay here for 3 days if you have questions and answer them. That is what you're elected to do, to go up there and represent your people. If you're appointed a minister, you go in there and stand by your actions and in the Dáil. Nothing that's said in private as a minister, you should be afraid to say it in public. That's the whole point of having credibility and integrity, is that anything that's going on behind the scenes, you should be happy to have it come out in the open. That way there's proper integrity in politics.
But you heard there, I mean, we had a lot of callers already on the line to us. You know, there is a huge amount of sympathy for Barry Conn, because there is that sense that he did go into the Dáil and that he did, you know, fess up and he did, you know, acknowledge what he did was very wrong.
And go in and make a statement. I'm not taking questions. Good luck. That'll do you.
Well, we have a long and inglorious history of people doing that, unfortunately.
And it worked for years, but politics has changed. And you see this, as I said, this current crop of Greens will not stand for it. And they are supporting this government. And this is what it's about. It's about a government, a coalition that has to work to try and get the economy back on track, to try and tackle a COVID crisis, a health crisis. And all of that is going on. And you have people coming on defending a guy who didn't tell his own leader, put him in a bad position, didn't answer all the questions, left lingering questions. Micheál Martin has met a rod for his own back by supporting him yesterday morning, sacking him yesterday evening with all the questions of what did you find out in between? And he says, well, no, I knew everything when I backed him and I knew everything when I sacked him. So, you know, he's met a rod for his own back there.
Well, to be fair, and I'm only quoting what we're hearing ourselves in the briefings that are being given to political reporters, he would say that he wanted to give him space. He wanted to give Barry Conn space to come to the conclusion himself that either he could make a statement or perhaps resign of his own volition. Is it not understandable that he would not want to be the man to plunge the knife?
Well, Micheál Martin would have been famous for not making decisions. He was the man that launched 1,000 reviews into anything when he was in Minister for Health, and everything was a review. And then it was, we can't talk about it until the review was finished, and we'll await the outcome of the review, and then we'll have a commission into the review, and we'll have a look at it then. Instead of making a decision immediately, making a decision to sack Barry Conn wasn't wrong, it was just late. He should have done it much sooner before he went in defending him.
Stay with us.
Micheál Martin always changed his mind. And Barry was not drunk. He was over the limit, slightly over the limit on a provisional licence. And if he had a full licence, he wouldn't have been over the limit. So he was not drunk, and that man is wrong.
Well, he's wrong about what, Damien?
He's wrong about calling saying that Barry Conn was drunk. He wasn't drunk.
No, I think Frank, I'll let you speak for yourself.
I don't know what classified the statement to be a drunk driver. He was convicted of being over the limit, or he was charged and he got banned for being over the limit. That now, It is a drink driving. The past tense is drink is drink. So that to me is a drunk driver.
And it served the penalty for that. And it should, that should be the end of it. You can't keep bringing these things back up. You know.
But that, his actual conviction and arrest, like, is not with that issue.
You know, like, he didn't go out and commit murder or a serious.
No, but that's not what his issue. That's not what the issue is. The issue is that he didn't inform his leader. His leader didn't ask him the questions. Is there anything you can put me in? But he didn't take questions to back it up. He's questioning the integrity of the Garda.
Even when his leader knew, he left them in the position. Micheál Martin changed his mind because of popular opinion.
There's where I agree with you, that it was bad leadership.
Okay, can we have one voice? Sorry, Damien, you finish your point first, and then I let Frank back in. Please, just your point is.
My point is that Micheál Martin will always change his mind for the popular position. He changed his mind on abortion, and there's children dying in Ireland because he changed his mind, because he brought people. He went against the party policy on it. So that's what I have against Micheál Martin.
Okay, so you would have been against Micheál Martin before anything happened with Barry Cowan in that line.
Well, yes, I wasn't. But yeah, of course, yeah. From him changing his mind on the abortion thing, yes, of course, I was against.
Okay,
And I wouldn't. And I didn't vote Fianna Fáil in the election because of that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look. Let me just go to James Garvin now. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Now you have sympathy for Barry Cowan, but
I do. I mean, you know, looking at Barry and the Cowan family have been involved in Fianna Fáil and politics for a long time, and you know, the fact that he was promoted to become a minister, I think, was, you know, reward for all the hard work. And let's face it, politics is an unforgiving game. It takes a lot of time. There's a lot of a lot of stresses in terms of your family life, etc. So, you know, it should have been a very popular appointment, and one that he fully deserved. But I think the Taoiseach needed to make this tough call and needed to make the decision on Barry. I think that, you know, the drip feeding of information that's come out in the media over the last number of weeks has really caused a lot of distraction away from the things that are really important at the minute. I mean, we're still in the middle of the COVID crisis. We've Brexit that's coming down the road again. And, you know, this constant media focus on incidents that happened a number of years ago with one TD, I think that it's unfortunate that the Taoiseach has had to make the decision, but I think that it was the correct one. And let's face it, I mean, you know, Barry Cowan is a very popular politician. He's a very able politician. There will be time for him to rebuild, I'm sure, and make a comeback in his career. But I just feel at this time it was right for the Taoiseach to make the call that he did.
What, I mean, are you in any of these WhatsApp groups, the Fianna Fáil WhatsApp groups we keep hearing about, that we hear are burning up with this issue over the last week?
I know from members that I've been in contact with, it has been, you know, it has been a very popular debate, as it has been in the media. And, you know, there are divided, viewpoints on this.
As a Fianna Fáil member and somebody who would be talking to other Fianna Fáil members, would Barry Cowan be a popular figure among the membership around the country?
Certainly from members that I'm in regular contact with, I think that he is. And again, you know, he is someone who seems to have done a lot of work on the ground over a number of years, you know, both as a councillor and then moving in when he was elected as a TD. So I feel he is a popular member of the party, and the fact that he was appointed minister, you know, I think was a reward for the work that he has done in the past.
Do you think if he felt unable to go into the Dáil to make a statement, do you think he should have resigned rather than forcing the Taoiseach's hand and forcing him to sack him?
That's a difficult question. I mean, you know, if we were in his shoes, I mean, would you really look at resignation as the very first option, you know, a couple of days into a new job? I feel that, you know, as the stories have come out, and, you know, and let's face it, there are some question marks, and there are some, you know, obviously he is seeking legal advice on certain items that, you know, we shouldn't really go into. But, you know, I think he was in a difficult position. I feel that, you know, maybe this, I feel that definitely the drink driving conviction, I think he should have brought that up to leadership before he was appointed a minister. I'm really surprised that there was a gap that that wasn't acknowledged. But, you know, I feel that it's probably good leadership from the Taoiseach at this time to make this decision because, you know, Barry will, unfortunately, you know, have lost his role. But I think that, you know, this story will, you know, as it stands at the minute, it's just distracting too much from what, you know, what the bigger issues are going on in our economy at the minute.
Okay. Okay, James, thanks for that. I want to go to Rachel. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
You've been listening to the show, Rachel, yeah?
Yes, I was. And I was really cross there at the start listening to some of the people actually defending Barry at the time. I just felt very strongly that he had been driving for years and years on a provisional licence. And if he had had an accident and somebody had been hurt or whatever, his insurance wouldn't have covered him at all. And I think that's really, really important.
We just, I just want to be careful because, as we say, because we didn't hear the full account from Barry Cowan himself. You know, it's not really clear what that situation would have been. I mean, that seems to be what we'd imagine, but we can't really say for sure what his insurance status would have been. So just be careful about that, please, Rachel.
And just to say as well, I can't ask Barry Cowan questions. I'm not able to meet him. And I feel that the people who've been voted in, the government in Ireland, they are the people that represent us. And I felt it was very poor decision last week that he wouldn't take questions. And there are questions that are there that have to be asked and have to be answered. Say, for instance, my query, another query that I would be interested in would be to do with the expenses. And I would like to know if expenses had been claimed for that period that he was out after being convicted of the drink driving, you know, and under what circumstances did he apply for expenses? For instance, maybe if it was a train or something, fine.
My understanding is those expenses are unvouched expenses and that you do not have to...
Okay, so we might never know then. But I was so relieved last night when I found out that he had lost his position, because I just thought it was really, really bad for the government and it was a bad time. And if he had been really contrite, like some of the other speakers there had said to you, I think he would have said it to Micheál Martin beforehand, but he didn't. And I think there's an element of kind of a lack of awareness that if he'd gotten such a position, that how would he have felt that would not have come to the fore at some point? I just felt it was very poor. I'm so relieved that he is gone, to be honest with you. And even listening to that other gentleman that was talking to you there about saying, you know, he wasn't convicted of being driving while he was drunk. He was obviously over a limit that was a legal limit. So he was illegally over a limit that you can drink and drive. And I can't understand people talking like that would support him in that circumstance. It's totally wrong.
Yeah, and I'm just getting a note there, and it's a good point, actually, that in relation to those expenses, he may have had a driver during that period, which would mean he was entitled to expenses for mileage. But as I say, we don't know the details of what happened during this time, because, as you say, he did not make himself available for those questions.
And I'm making those points for that very reason, to say that I think that was poor judgment after this came to the fore, that he denied people the opportunity in government to ask those questions. And that's why it rumbled on, I think, you know. So I'm quite happy today, although not happy listening to some of the other speakers.
Right, okay. Okay. Who's is that Damien? Hi, Frank.
Can I just make a final point?
Do.
It's just that we generally would like our lawmakers not to be lawbreakers in a general sense. But there's 130 weeks Micheál Martin has to be Taoiseach, and he's wasted two of them on this. The country is in need of solid leadership, and we can't have this going on. Time is too short; it goes by too quick. As Micheál Martin will say, he's 128 weeks left. Two of them wasted on this.
So when should he have sacked him?
He should have sacked him when the story was broke. Once the story was broke and he asked and he didn't answer, he should have sacked him on the spot. He said, "You wouldn't answer my questions, you're gone."
Well, hang on a second we don't know what questions he asked or answered from Micheál Martin.
Micheál Martin said in the Dáil this morning, he talked to him 2 weeks ago when the story broke in The Independent. He got a full account of what went on and he was happy to support him. He should have sacked him on the spot because he didn't know.
I think that's very unfair, because there's probably a lot of people in the Dáil that have broken the law in some way, I'm sure that you could clean out the doll probably. You know, so you can't go back on stuff that happened a few years ago, and it wasn't a major thing.
Yeah, and to be fair, Frank, nobody else was screaming for Barry Cowan's head during this time. So,
like it would have been. They were screaming for him to answer questions, and he was refusing to answer questions in the place he was elected to be.
That's my problem, in that he did get convicted of something, and he has served his time, but he never told Micheál Martin, and he should have done it, and he should have stepped up and answered
that
questions.
That would be the end of it.
Yes, I think so too.
It would have been the end of it had he been full and frank and explained the entire thing. And when they took questions on it, as I said, if you stand up and say, I'm elected, I take whatever questions you want, I'll answer whatever questions you have. I'll leave nothing hanging, there'll be no ambiguity and nothing to come back at me with later. But he didn't.
Okay, I see Mary Glennon. Mary, good afternoon.
Hello, Katie.
You would agree with Frank there?
Well, I would. I think if you've nothing to hide, you've nothing to fear. You know, and if he had come clean in the beginning, I mean, we still don't know exactly what he did, what the situation was of him driving that night when he was coming home, why he was picked up with the Gardaí, what the sequence of events were. We don't know how long he had a provisional license and whether he was driving alone after the law changed where you needed an accompany driver. He has clarified none of these issues. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, as I said initially, if you've nothing to hide, you've nothing to fear.
But I suppose he would say, I mean, that his account of this is that he does have something to fear, because he says that the Garda pulse record of the incident is wrong and has given and gives an incorrect impression. So that's his position on the events of that evening. Yeah. And that would put you, to be fair, in a very invidious position if that turned out to be the case.
Well, then he should have clarified exactly what happened that evening. If his account is different than the guard who was on duty that night, he should tell us exactly what happened. Was he on his own? Who was he with? What the sequence of events was that the guards felt necessary to stop him. I mean, he's been going up and down that road for donkey's years, and obviously this has never happened to him before, or has it? I mean, we don't really know. So we need to know the facts. And, you know, there are far too many people killed on the road through unaccompanied learner drivers who don't have a full grasp of driving experience, and through people who have been drinking and driving and whose sense of judgment is impaired. There are far too many gravestones in the graveyard. I couldn't believe it when I heard that man a few minutes ago saying that other people in the Dáil have committed crimes. I mean, that is not... I mean, I know all the old Alicadoos of the party are going to come out in favour of him, all the locals who like having the local TD. I mean, we've seen it in other situations where TDs have been less than whiter than white, and they top the poll at the next election. But that is never going to be right.
Yeah, well, if you pick on Barry Cowan, you may look at everybody. You know, like, I mean, Barry paid the price for what he'd done. He apologised for it, and he made a statement in the Dáil. And that's
really
the end.
It's like really funny, you know. But I expect my politicians to be above
that sort of
behaviour.
I
expect them not to be crooked or pinging their above the law or...
Yeah.
Carrying out misdemeanors and knowing they'll get away with it because of their political power. That's what it's all about.
The point about it is the media rule this country, and there's no leader. Micheál Martin's not strong enough to stand up to the media and say, listen, I'm the leader of the country. The media...
Come off it.
And if you're looking at Barry Cowan, you need to look at everybody else in the Dáil, because this is a witch hunt against Barry Cowan.
Come off it. Look, I'm very glad we have a media, because if we didn't have a media who were prepared, like Katie Hannan, who was a very good political journalist, to get to the bottom of these stories, people would get away with murder.
Surely, Damien, the media are just doing their job. They're reporting a valid story.
They're reporting.
Do you expect them not to report the stories when they come to them?
Yeah, no, no. Of course they have to report stories, but they don't have to do a witch hunt on everybody. You know, like when somebody has paid the price, that should be the end of it. I can't understand this. You know, like Barry Cowan is a very, very decent person, and this shouldn't be happening to him or his family. It's a disgrace, actually.
Well, you know, if he had come clean and told the Taoiseach about it before, it would never have even been an issue.
Did you listen to his statement in the Dáil? You know, so he came clean and he said he was sorry. He apologised. He apologised to loads of people, different people,
well,
different organisations.
Well, sorry, but we are not hearing the full story. Let's hear the full story.
I mean, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, everybody has something, you know. Everybody.
Look, I remember a very famous story not all that long ago of another Fianna Fáil TD caught driving the wrong way down the Naas-Juillaghe carriageway after a race, a Punchestown race meeting. And, you know, people shouldn't get away with these things. They should be dealt the full rigour of the law.
Well, in that case, they didn't get away with it either, to be fair, Mary Glennon.
The punishment as well. And the punishment should be the end of it.
Damien, I think we got that point. You've made it. And Mary, you've made your point, and I thank you for that, and thank you to Rachel and Frank and all of our many callers in on this big political story of the day. But there, we'll have to take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.